Father in heaven, oh Lord, please reside over this meeting tonight. Lord, teach us from your word. And Lord, help us to silence the voices of the world and the chaos and stress and all these other things that are going on. We thank you for what you've done with Barbara, Lord, that she's getting some answers and getting some help through the VA. Lord, we ask that you be with my mom on Friday as she has this surgery. Thank you for the opportunity to go down there, and please give us safe travel as we go down and back. And Lord, again, reveal yourself to us in your word, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Just want to remind you guys of something that we read not long ago. You can open up your Bibles to Psalm 113, is where we are tonight. Psalm 113. We just finished up the book of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew. And toward the very end of the Gospel of Matthew, on the night that Jesus was betrayed and taken into custody, we read this. It says, and they had sung a hymn. Actually, I'll just read a little bit more. Starting in verse 26, as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed it, broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of this vine from now until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. What? Oh. Have you ever wondered what they sang? You know, or that last hymn together? I think it was what we're going to read tonight in the Psalms is the relevance. Psalm 113 through Psalm 118. Are what is known as Hallel Psalms. Hallel meaning praise. They're Psalms of praise. And there's different sections of Psalms that are broke up that way. These are actually called the Egyptian Hallel Psalms. But these in particular, Psalm 113 to Psalm 118, were sung to celebrate Jewish feasts, the high holy days on the Jewish calendar, but specifically sung at the Passover meal. So Psalm 113 and Psalm 114 were sung before the meal, and then 115 through 118 were sung after the meal. So chances are these psalms, and we probably won't make it through all of them tonight, but these were sung by Jesus and the disciples the night before he went to the cross. I just think it's pretty cool to consider that as we go through these. Again, Psalm 113, this is the third psalm in a row that starts out, "Hallelujah," or "Praise the Lord." And I sincerely believe that that was just a burst of praise from the psalmist, both from himself to honor and praise God, but to encourage the reader, to encourage all of us to do the same. And we have some application of that, right? Not this Sunday, but next Sunday. As we lead by example, as we got all the little kids up here and we're doing the children's worship service, that's September 10th, just to remind you guys. And we're going to be singing those VBS songs and Sunday school songs, right? Okay. Right. Right. Hopefully, actually, it'll probably work the other way around, right? They'll blast it out, praise the Lord, and it'll encourage us. But anyways, so this psalm starts out, "Praise the Lord, praise, O servants of the Lord, praise the name of the Lord." Psalm 8, verse 1 says, O Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth, who have set your glory above the heavens." There's some significance in the name of the Lord. First of all, as you'll see as we go through these, identifying him differently than the false gods and false idols that were being worshipped. But, and I don't know if you guys have ever done this with names of God or names of Jesus, but to actually go through and study some of the different names of God and the meanings behind them, Pretty interesting study, but it's also valuable. I think we'll see Yahweh a little bit further in our study tonight, but El Shaddai, Lord God Almighty, Adonai, Lord or Master. When you need a shepherd, the Lord is my shepherd, is Jehovah Ra. The Lord that heals when you have sickness, Jehovah Rapha. When you need provision, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is peace. Kind of an interesting study to go through. And the psalm says, praise the name of the Lord. Verse 2 says, blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore, that our praises would never cease. From the rising of the sun to its going down, the Lord's name is to be praised. So from the rising of the sun till its going down could mean continuously out throughout the day. Or it could actually mean, like all the study we've done with this eclipse, you know, it raises in the east, right? Sets in the west. Did I say that right? Okay. So across the lands that the Lord would be praised from sun up to sundown. Verse 4, the Lord is high above all nations, his glory above the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God who dwells on high? Look at verse 6. Who humbles himself to behold the things that are in the heavens and in the earth. Ever think about that? The God that created the universe, the God that created us, the living and powerful God, considers the things of the heavens, considers the things of creations, considers the things of holding molecules together, but humbles himself to behold me. That he loves me, or that he cares about the things in my life. That this afternoon when I'm scrambling with something, I can just take a minute and sit down and talk with him. And he humbles himself enough that I matter. You guys don't seem to be getting it. More surprisingly, that you matter. Okay, no. That he thinks of you, that he considers your worries and your concerns, and that matters. Think how humbling, back to me, think how humbling that is for God, the Creator, to consider the creation, that the creation matters. Humbles himself to behold that he loves you, that he loves me. And take it a step further, guys. If that's humbling for God, think what it was for Jesus to descend from heaven and not just come among us, but to be one of us so that he could save us. Pastor Ken used to describe it as a maggot coming among the maggots. I mean, the descent being so great, and I don't even think that begins to touch it. I mean, from glorified God to descend to be man, and then to die for the sins of man, humbles himself to behold the things that are in the heaven and in the earth. He raises the poor out of the dust and lifts the needy out of the ash heap, that he may seat him with princes. With the princes of his people, he grants the barren woman a home like a joyful mother of children. To be a mom in that culture was the glory of a woman, and to not be was considered shame. But what I like about the verses 7 through 9 is it talks generically what he does with the poor. He raises them up out of the dust. He lifts the needy out of the ash heap. Guys, when all said and done, every accomplishment, everything that we have in this world outside of Christ is an ash heap. It all rots. It all decays. But then he goes on and says what it'll do, but in verse 9, he grants the barren woman. So it's not just the masses. It's not just Israel that matters to God. It's the individual. He names the barren woman, that we as individual people matter. The whosoever's that will believe. And then he ends it. The psalm comes full circle. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Makes that exclamation of praise again. Psalm 114. the power of God in his deliverance of Israel. Verse 1, when Israel went out of Jacob, or went out of Egypt, the house of Jacob from a people of strange language, Judah became his sanctuary and Israel his dominion. Although Israel was in Egypt for some 400 years, this language that they're among a people of a strange language means they were there, even though it was 400 years, it was never their home. They didn't belong there. It wasn't comfortable. You guys ever been around a bunch of people that speak a different language? It's kind of uncomfortable, right? I've been to Georgia. People speak a different language down there. Welcome, brother. We used to live in Virginia. I've been in that situation. And you don't, you know, are they talking about you? And what are they saying? Am I safe? Kind of thing. But that's really is an extension. That's sort of how we are in this world, right? We're in the world, but we're not of the world. Well, somehow we just, this isn't our home. We don't quite fit here. And that's his description of Israel in Egypt. And then Judah being the leading tribe or the chief tribe represented all of Israel. So he's saying Judah became his sanctuary. Israel became the place he dominated, became God's dominion. The Red Sea, or the sea saw it and fled. Jordan turned back. The mountains skipped like lambs. The little hills like lambs. Here's a main translation. What ails you, O sea, that you fled? O Jordan, that you turned back? He's saying how nature just responds to God. Not just the creation, not just people, but verse 3 talks about going in and out of the promised land. The sea saw it and fled. The Jordan turned back. In response to the presence of God, the Jordan had no other option than to turn away. The mountains skipped like rams, possibly a reference to the earthquakes that occurred when God was on Mount Sinai, God's presence, or possibly even just joy that the mountains and hills could actually express joy. The little hills like lambs. What ails you, O sea, that you fled? O Jordan, that you turned back? I love Psalm 114. Just it presents all these questions like, what's the deal? What's going on? Why are you doing this? And not until I think we get to verse 7 does it mention the name of God. The psalmist knew what the cause was of all this, and the presumption is that the reader does as well. But it's like he's toying with us in this song. Verse 6, O mountains that you skipped like rams, O little hills like lambs, tremble, O earth, at the presence of the Lord. The creation itself would tremble. Or more literally, the translation there is birth pangs, that the earth would go into birth pangs out of honor for God. Tremble, O earth, at the presence of the Lord. And that's Adonai there. Again, Lord or Master. That just the presence of God would make the earth shake. That the presence of God of Jacob, who turned the rock into the pool of water, the flint into a fountain of waters. Psalm 115. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but to your name give glory. Because of your mercy, because of your truth, why should the Gentiles say, so where is their God? That we wouldn't receive praise, that it would all be given to God, but also that God's faithfulness should never cause the world or the Gentiles outside of Israel to question, why has God abandoned them? And as we go through this psalm, you'll see it's kind of broke up in chunks, and it's believed to be what they call a liturgical psalm, meaning, anybody ever singing around? Yeah, we used to come in really late at college, we'd sing in a round. Michael, row, row, row your boat. Yeah, Barb was there. A liturgical psalm would be, like, you guys would sing a section, the priest would sing a section, you guys, the worshipers, would sing a section, then the high priest would sing a section. So that's how they believe this psalm was used, but there's no way to identify really who sang what section. Verse 3 says, "But our God is in heaven." Is in heaven, is living. He does whatever he pleases. And then he goes on and he talks about the idols and the false god. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. Their gods that they worship are things that they fabricated, things that they put together. They have mouths but do not speak. They have eyes but do not see. Picture like a little idol that's made with a carved mouth or as jewels as eyes or that look like eyes but don't see because there's no life in this thing that man created. But he starts out in verse 3, but our God, he's in heaven. He's living. He does whatever he pleases. Their idols are made from men's hands. They have mouths but don't speak. Eyes they have, but they don't see. Verse 6, they have ears but they do not hear. Noses they have, but they do not smell. They have hands, but they do not handle. Feet they have, but they do not walk. Nor do they mutter through their throat. Those who make them are like them. So was everyone who trusts in them. Verse 8, those who make them are like them. You guys know it's a truth that we become like that which we worship. Yeah? You spend time worshiping God and reading his word, and you're going to become more Christ-like, more like God. You spend your time pursuing other things and elevating those things above God, and you become more like those things. So those who make them, they're like them. So is everyone who trusts in them. Verse 9, O Israel, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. The Lord has been mindful of us. He will bless us. I like that. Verse 12, you know, we've said before that God's past faithfulness demands our present trust. That's why I encourage you guys to keep a prayer log and to take notes when you're in teachings and to just write about, journal about what God's doing in your life so you can look back and you can remember his faithfulness. And that's what the psalmist is saying here. The Lord has been mindful of us. God has been faithful. So we don't want to forget about that. Because of his past faithfulness, he will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those who fear the Lord, both small and great. May the Lord give you increase and much more, you and your children. I think that ties right back to the idols. The idols back then, the sun gods, all these different things. They were gods of harvest. They were gods that they believed brought rain and all those things. And he brings all that up and then he says, May the Lord give you increase. May the living God who is in heaven, may the Lord give you increase more and more, you and your children. May you be blessed again by the Lord, names the living true God, who made heaven and earth. The heaven, even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth he has given to the children of men. The dead do not praise the Lord, nor any who go down into silence, but we will bless the Lord from this time forth and evermore. Hallelujah, or praise the Lord. Psalm 116. I've kind of fallen in love with the first two verses of this. It says, I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplications, or my pleadings, my constant asking. Because he has inclined his ear to me, therefore I will call upon him as long as I live. Yeah. You guys willing to get the tattoo? But what a proclamation. You know, what words to have on your lips, guys, when you meet with somebody or somebody's seeking or somebody's like, so why do you bother with this? Why do you do this? What difference has God made in your life? I saw somebody on you. posted on social media yesterday, I think. Something to the, you asked a question, right? What was the question? You remember? I don't want to put you on the spot. I can look it up if you want. I love the Lord because. Wouldn't this be a great response to that question? I love the Lord because he has heard my voice. This is probably what prompted that question. He has heard my voice and my supplications because he has inclined his ear to me. Therefore, I will call upon him as long as I live. So why do I need this God that you worship? Why do I need to become a Christian? It's a really good way to start that conversation, guys. This whole psalm is about the joy of answered prayer. Another good reason to have a journal, to remember when you've sought after God and you've pleaded with God, and like we've talked about some over the last month or two, not just giving them choice A or choice B, but waited on the Lord, and God comes through in a way that maybe you didn't even see. This is kind of what this psalm is describing. Verse 3, the pains of death surrounded me, and the pains of Sheol laid hold of me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I implore you, deliver my soul. That's a good prayer. God, you got to do this, or you got to change that, or you got to do this, you got to do that. Lord, just deliver me. Deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and is righteous. Yes, our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. There's the humility of the psalmist. I was brought low and he saved me. So this isn't just the psalmist speaking in theory. Right, as he's writing this song, he's saying, I was brought low, and he saved me. I'm talking about something I know here. I'm talking about something I've experienced. Return to your rest, O my soul. That little word rest is actually in the plural form here, which means I was vexed, I was worried, I was upset because I was in the throes of death, and God delivered me. Pleaded out to God, I implore you, deliver my soul, and he did. I was brought low and he saved me. Now return to your rest. And in the plural, it just means complete and continual rest or peace that's available to us when we're surrendered to the Lord. For the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. It's awesome. For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tearing, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, therefore I spoke. I am greatly afflicted. See, I believed. This is what I thought in my perspective in that moment when all I could see was this sickness or this pain that surrounded me. You guys know how limited our perspective can be when we're in those dark places. And he's saying, I believed this, therefore I spoke. I'm greatly afflicted. I'm broken up. Paul talks about praying three times to take this thorn away that caused him to, I believe, to reach a different intimacy with God as he pleaded out and cried. But he says, I believed, therefore I spoke. I'm greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. It's what it seemed like, God. It's what it seemed like when all this was going on and I was surrounded. The pains of death surrounded me. The pains of Sheol laid hold of me. I found trouble and sorrow. But he says, I said in my haste. I was quick to judge the circumstance. And I said, all men are liars. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits towards me? What shall I give back to God for all the good he's given me? And verse 13 answers that. I will take up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. And I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Two things I want to point out about that. What shall I do to render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? What shall I give to God? How can I pay it back or toward it? And then the answer is, I'll take up the cup of salvation. The only thing that I can do to render back to God is to take more, to fully receive all that he has for me, to fully receive his salvation, to fully receive the way that he's made, to fully receive his son. I will take up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. Second thing I want to bring up from this. Imagine Jesus singing this before he goes into the garden. Father, if there's any other way, take this cup. And he's singing, I'll take the cup of salvation, knowing what was to come, knowing he was going to face the cross, and call upon the name of the Lord. I'll pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Okay, someone explain that to me. Because that goes against everything that we think or feel, right? When we're praying that a Christian will be delivered and not die or not be sick. And then it says, precious in the eyes of the Lord is the death of his saints. Any ideas? Any thoughts on that? I don't know if you heard it up here too. She said, he wants us to be with him. Homecoming. Plus, we're in a glorified body, a perfect state. You ever think about that, guys? When we're with God, death actually removes all the remaining barriers between us and God and having perfect fellowship with God. I'm not changing it, Barb. It's what it says. Sorry. I know what you mean, but from our perspective here, earth, we're dead to this world. Yeah, we go on living eternally. I get your point. I just love to make fun, pick on you, not make fun. Right. Brian hurt my feelings tonight this way. Again, what a jerk. Lord, help that jerk. But God desires that much to be with us. He longs to be with us. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly, verse 16, I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You've loosed my bonds. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord. Again, think of Jesus singing this. It amazes me. Now, in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of you, O Jerusalem, praise the Lord. We're going to do one more. But look at it first. You know what? Going through Bible commentaries on this, you guys have heard of Martin Luther, right? Martin Luther devoted 36 pages to this psalm. Broke up into four different categories, expounding on it. I'm only going to go through the first. No, I'm just kidding. I'll let the psalm pretty much speak for itself. Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Laud him, all you peoples. For his merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. Just a reminder, guys, that it's a song. You know, this is probably like we have Word of God speak. You know, some of those short ones that we may sing over and over. But here's the magnanimous, the big thing about this, verse 1. The huge thing I want you to see. Old Testament, right, written by the psalmist. Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. laud him or say praiseworthy things. But what does that tell us? Old Testament, he's saying, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. That God's plan from the very beginning was to include us, right? Not exclusively to save Israel. That wasn't like, they messed up. They're not doing so hot. I'm going to open the door a little further. But God from the beginning planned to include the Gentiles, include us, the old townites. Laud him, all you peoples, for his merciful kindness is great towards us. And the truth of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. We'll save Psalm 118 for next week. And we're inviting our food ministry people to join us next week for the cookout. That'll be our last cookout of the season. So next Wednesday, come at 6, and we'll give you some burgers and dogs. Anyone else want to say anything to Barb before we close? Let's pray. Yeah. Father, Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we're family, and Lord, that you've given us this love for each other and created relationships that exist really only because of you and are strengthened by you. Lord, I was just, it's overwhelming to consider Jesus singing these songs before the cross. The significance of that. Lord, that the salvation of us was part of the plan. Any that would receive, any that would drink the cup of salvation, receive the price paid by Jesus on the cross. All part of your original plan. Father, we just ask your blessing on these folks for coming out midweek. Lord, bless those in children's ministry and those little kids back there. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.